This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
We shall see, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, a steamy Friday, July 16th, 2021. Yesterday, we celebrated our 19th anniversary as a show, and
that's
today
right.
It's a throwback show because Peter Rosenberg, we've thrown him back into the wrestling stratosphere. He's doing a wrestling match this weekend, I guess. But it's just the two of us, Don. You ready?
I am ready. I listened to his show this morning in which he was on.
Right.
I guess he's going to Houston early to watch the wrestling tonight as a fan, and then he's working Sunday's extravaganza.
Ah,
but listen,
great.
He's owed vacation. That's fine.
No. And we love working with each other. Really,
Excuse
we prefer
me?
It. So we got a lot of stuff to do today. At this point, we'll start with Diamond Notes on the Michael K. Show, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And at this point, Yankees Red Sox at the stadium is indeed on. What they're going to do with yesterday's postponed game, that is still being discussed. I'm not quite certain what they're going to do. But I will tell you this, everybody that is tuned into the show. We are not going to saddle you down with talk about COVID. We've learned, okay, when we did the pandemic shows and all that, there's just so much that people could take. So what we're going to do, and I hope that you don't take this in the wrong way, is that we are going to proceed as if the six guys that the Yankees have identified as having tested positive for COVID are, in fact, injured. Now, they are on the COVID list, and we're going to look at exactly what those six absences are going to mean to the New York Yankees when they start tonight a stretch that really could dictate whether or not they have a chance to make the playoffs. And that's the way we're going to roll with this. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's any other news that comes out regarding anybody else that tests positive, if anybody on the Red Sox tests positive, we'll get it to you. But we're not going to sit here and debate, you know, vaccine, not vaccine. Don, it's just, it's a no-win. People dig in, they're dug in, they're entrenched on the side that they're on. We're not going to convince them. We don't even want to try to convince them. Either you're a guy or a gal that gets vaccinated, or you're a guy or a gal that doesn't get vaccinated. You're a sports fan. You're tuning in here to laugh, talk about sports. We're not going to come down on that side of it. Listen, do what you do, and if that's what you feel is right, do it.
Hey, listen, a lot of what we did during the pandemic is because we had no games to talk about, analyze, or preview. And then last night, same thing. Game got postponed. Why? COVID. No game to talk about, and it was something that had just happened and needed to be talked about and analyzed. Now there is a game tonight, and COVID has affected the Yankees big time. Six players are not able to participate in this game, and a couple of guys are just irreplaceable. Right?
Well, I think it's more than a couple. Let's give you the six.
Well, at least
okay?
two. Urshela and Judge are very difficult to replace.
Very difficult. Well, especially Judge. And Urshela, I would agree, is probably on that next plane.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Loaisiga might be on the same plane as Aaron Judge.
True, but we kind of, for the same reason, but we went in last night knowing he wasn't available.
Right.
He wasn't available going into the All-Star break. So
right. And you saw what it cost him that game on Sunday.
Right, but Britton comes back, so that kind of compensates a little bit, right?
You would think so, but you don't know what Britton you're getting back. Is he going to be top-flight Britton that saved like 47 games with the Orioles, or is he going to be have to work back into shape? Because he essentially hasn't really pitched this year all that much. So you hope that – I think he's the closer, Don. You know, the Yankees have a game that they can close tonight. I still don't think they're going to be feeling comfortable about going with Chapman. I just don't think they will.
No, if it were me, the next time you see Chapman – is either in a blowout either way or some long extra inning game where they've run out of pitchers.
Right.
There's no way you can tell me that 2-1 Yankees, top nine, he's coming in to close that game.
I would agree with you. Unless they've used everybody to get to 2-1 and they have to go to him because that's the last move they could make. I just don't think he's going to freely go to Aroldis Chapman until Aroldis Chapman proves, you know what, I've straightened things out. Mm-hmm. So there's no Loaisiga, there's no Judge, there's no Urshela. Now, you can laugh at this all you want. You really can if you'd like. But the second best starting pitcher for the Yankees over the last 3 weeks has been Nestor Cortes Jr. Out. He's out. Wandy Peralta, he's out. I mean, is it a loss? Sure, you don't want to see anybody test positive for COVID, but I don't think that's going to be the difference between the Yankees winning or losing games. And the sixth person is Kyle Higashioka. Now, the Yankees are not deep with catchers. So it's going to be Gary, and he can't catch every day. You're going to have somebody over the next 10 days catch a game
right.
that is not even on the 40-man roster, Don. Mm-hmm. Not on the 40-man
right.
roster.
And on top of that, that means Cole has got to pitch to Sanchez twice.
Right. Or the guy they bring up.
Well, that would really be a slap in the face.
It wouldn't be cool. it would be, as that noted philosopher Joe Girardi says, it's not what you want.
No, not at all.
It's not what you want. So I was on with Bob Beschus, and he was filling in for Barton Hahn, which is really, you know, Barton Hahn and Carlin. So even Carlin's off this week. But, you know, Bob said if they don't do well over this two-week stretch, are they going to blow it up? And I don't think, and I haven't even run this past Don off the air, I don't think this team is blow-upable.
I don't think so.
Now, you know, a seismic move would be trading Judge. I think that would be dumb. Now, the Yankees at some point during this offseason, they have to decide whether or not they're going to sign Aaron Judge when he becomes a free agent after 2022. And if they decide they're not, then you trade him during this offseason when you have 29 teams engaged. You don't have 29 teams engaged now. There are a lot of teams that are selling. I think it would be dumb to trade Aaron Judge now. So that would be the blow-upable part of our show. Who else is blow-upable? Who else are you trading that's blow-upable that you would change the face of the team? You're not trading Gerrit Cole. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, so you're not trading him. I don't think you're trading Gary Sanchez. So could you trade Gleyber Torres? I guess you could. But does he have the value that he had, you know, a year ago? No. Why would you trade him now? You're not trading DJ LeMahieu. Gio Urshela? Why would you trade him? So where's the blow-upable aspect of our show here? I don't get it. Now, I also don't think, Don, that over the next 2 weeks that they could play themselves out of being in the playoffs. They could play themselves out of being in contention to win the AL East. But you mean to tell me over these 8 games with the Red Sox, 2 with the Phillies, and the 3 against the Tampa Bay Rays, you really believe that they're going to play themselves to a point that they're out of a wild card spot? I don't see it.
And they've never done it. You know, we kept talking about how their quote-unquote rebuild in 2016. It really wasn't. What did they do in 2016? They traded a closer that they knew they were going to get back in free agency. And also Miller, who they probably didn't think was going to last long and didn't with injury. They didn't blow that up either. This team doesn't blow it up. And nor should they blow it up if you're only a handful of games back of the wild card. But even if you decided to, even if every Yankee fan's dream came true and Brian Cashman was fired and the next Heim Bloom came in and said, I wanted to blow it up, what is he doing?
But
you, even the guys you mentioned, DJ LeMahieu, Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres, you're selling low. Because those guys have not had great seasons. Even Sanchez, Michael, I don't know if these last couple of weeks are enough to say you're selling high. Because you can't ignore what's happened all the other times between 2016 and now where he has not been very good. So why would you trade guys when their value is at its lowest it's been in 3 years?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I don't think there'd be a – I don't think they would, but it wouldn't be a huge market right now for DJ. It just wouldn't. He's not having a great year, and he has 5 more years on his contract, which will take him to 38, 39. I don't know how many teams are going to really assume that. So would you like to trade Chapman? Sure. What are you getting for him? Forget about what are you getting for him. Who's taking on an $18 million contract on a guy you don't know if he's going to figure it out? I guess you could trade Britton, but why would you do that? He's probably your closer. You could trade Chad Green. Why? A controllable guy who's a good pitcher out of the bullpen? You're not trading Jonathan Loaisiga. So everybody has these grandiose plans. Well, let's blow it up. To what?
The only thing that would be blowing it up is trading Aaron Judge.
And I don't think that's the wise thing to do.
Well, not if you're three games out of a wild card spot. And I don't see them falling that far out where you would even think of doing it. Are you going to fall 10 out?
And Don, no. Even if they fell out of it, why wouldn't you wait till the offseason and get the best deal you could get where 29 teams are engaged? Or possibly 20. Right now, there's only a couple of teams that might be very interested in him, but you're not going to get maximum value for him.
The only thing is you might be able to find a team that gives you a little more because they would have him for the stretch run this year and all of next year, even if they didn't plan on giving him a contract. Like during the offseason, you would only have the teams that would be willing to give him a deal. How much money are you going to give a guy that's going to be with you for 1 year? But if there's a team in contention, and we'll get to this later on too, Michael, bad news for the Mets to hear that the Nationals, Braves, and Phillies are all buyers, right?
Well, I think it's awakening news. I agree with you. We have to really get into that because those teams think the Mets are very catchable.
So if you were a team, you were one of those three teams, and let's say Aaron Judge was available, you might give a little more knowing I got him for a run this year and then all of next year. You might not even think about re-signing him. But during the offseason, how much are you willing to give a team when you only have him guaranteed for one more season? So I think you could get something for him now more than the offseason, unless you found a team that was willing to give him a long-term deal. And if that were the case, wouldn't you wait for him to just hit free agency? So I don't even know what you really even get for Judge to say that would even be enough to say that it'd be worth blowing up. It'd be blowing it up, but would you really get true value?
Yeah, it's buzzwords that people use because I don't think the team has the ability to blow itself up. And I don't think that Brian Cashman would. What in Brian Cashman's resume would tell you he's going to blow something up? So I think it's going to happen. Now, I think the only decision the Yankees have to make, Don, are they in buy mode? Forget about sell mode because there's not much to sell and you don't want to sell, at flea market prices. So are they going to add somebody? And I've told you this over and over again. I don't believe they're going over the threshold. And a lot of people are saying, well, why didn't they make a run at Jock Peterson? You know what? The Braves gave up a pretty good first baseman. Pretty good first baseman. Which would tell you also that the Braves believe that they are going to sign Freddie Freeman. So they gave up a lower-level first baseman with high upside. And they got Jock Peterson, who only has $2 million left on his. So you could have acquired him if you're the Yankees and still stay under 210. But if you're Hal Steinbrenner, why would you go over the threshold now? What has this team shown you to make you believe that, well, you know what, if I spend another $20 million, we'll be fine? Really? Okay, let's go through this, everybody. What do they have to add to be fine? What's the worst part about what's going on right now? Can you really put your finger on one thing?
Well,
I think their offense has improved, but it's still problematic. It's still 20th in runs scored. The starting pitching is a little bit of an issue of late, and they're hoping to get back Kluber and to get back Severino. So why do they dip their toe into a big pitcher that cost a lot of money? Listen, I know it's not exciting, Don, and it's not what people want to hear. I think they pretty much stand pat. Could they add a player or two? No, I could say they can add somebody bigger than Tim LeCastro, but I don't think they're going to add somebody like Mike Trout. So it's not even in the middle. It's closer to Tim LeCastro than to Mike Trout.
Yeah,
not that Mike Trout's available, but you know what I'm saying. I just don't think it's going to be an earth-shattering move because they haven't proven that they're worthy of it.
Yeah, maintenance move. That's what you're looking at. I can't imagine what position is of need where you say we have to go out and get like a
left-handed center fielder. Left-handed hitting center fielder.
Okay. And that would be it.
Yeah.
Right? There's no that's all because you've got there's somebody playing the position that you have, right? You've got Voit when healthy is your first baseman, you got a second baseman, shortstop, third. Can you upgrade? Yeah, but without trading those guys, who are you bringing in that's going to replace them? Yeah,
I mean, in a perfect world, you'd like a left-handed hitting first baseman. I don't know if it's available.
Yeah, so let's say you can get Gallo from Texas.
And that seems to be the big rumor.
All right. So is that something that they could do?
They can do that, and I think that would – that to me would lean to the side of a big move.
Right.
Because Gallo's considered – you know, he's an all-star. Now, you could say, well, he strikes out a lot. We know. We know what he is. But he's a big power hitter who happens to be a plus defender in the outfield. Don't forget that. So all of a sudden, that solves your left field problem in all likelihood. He becomes your left fielder, and you say, well, what about Clint Frazier? Well, maybe Clint – and by the way, congratulations to Clint, who got engaged the other day. Yes. He could be part of a deal.
But
Duar could be part of a deal. You're not going to get Joey Gallo for free. Let's put it that way.
But can Frazier be a part of a deal? Because now they've ruled out it was Vertigo. It's something else.
Right.
So what is it?
Don't know.
Right. So am I trading for that? If I'm Texas, do I want to add a player that's got a health issue?
Yeah, everybody, you know, Yankee fans, you know, just think that Texas is going to give up Joey Gallo. They really like Joey Gallo. So the Yankees are going to have to give up a lot. Players that are highly thought of in their farm system. And in addition, Texas will say, okay, we'll also take a flyer on Frazier then. So these deals are not easy to make, Don. They're just not. So it's going to be interesting. Now, I think that the next 10 days, because if you test positive for COVID, you're out at least 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So the clock started on Higashioka, Urshela, and Judge yesterday. All three of those guys, all three, are missing all 8 Red Sox games if they make up yesterday's game. Right now, 7 Red Sox game. All of them. Every single one. They're missing every single one. Your best player, your backup catcher, and one of your best players, a third baseman, they're out for these games. They're out. Loaiza, his clock started, obviously, much sooner because he wasn't available for that final game in Houston. So he's probably close to coming back. So those guys I don't think are going to be that big of an issue. But the three that went on, the position players, gigantic. Now, do you really believe the Yankees are going to be okay without Aaron Judge and Gio Urshela against the Red Sox? Even with those guys, they're 0-6 against the Red Sox. So, Don, I think that this is I will put it this way. What happened yesterday is a really huge blow for them to catch the Red Sox. I don't think it impacts them being a wild card team.
No, because you've got who are you going up against? You're going up against the
Oakland.
Teams that are between you. Seattle. Oakland's got the last playoff spot, right?
Right. So you'd be Oakland, Seattle, Toronto, and Tampa Bay.
Hey, listen, the Yankees have not done well in their own division. So you got to be able to take care of the Blue Jays and the Rays. You got plenty of games with those teams to be able to make up the ground for that. I don't think Seattle's got any kind of sustainability.
No.
So right now they sit, they got 43 losses. Oakland's got 40. They're 3 back of the loss column of Oakland. But I have to go over Toronto, Cleveland, and Seattle to get to Oakland.
I don't worry about Cleveland. And Toronto, I like their talent. And I think that they probably would be in the market to make a big deal. Mm-hmm. I still think the Yankees are better than Toronto. I still do.
Right, but still, but
you got to beat them.
Yeah. Now, Tampa, give them the first wild card. I'm not saying you have to, but even if you just gave them the first wild card, all right, so it's Oakland, Seattle, Cleveland, and Toronto. You can hang with them.
Yep. No matter what happens over the next 2 weeks.
Right. But
you might play yourself out of the Red Sox.
Right, but we'll see. Because remember, now we're kind of falling into the same thing we did over the last few years. This team's always seemed to come out when the injuries happen, and they seem to play their best baseball. And no offense to this is not a dig at Judge, but Michael, this team knows how to play without Aaron Judge.
Right.
They've had to play big games the last few years without Aaron Judge in the lineup. So
yeah, they had a different team though. I know what you're saying, but they had a different team. They had guys that you could plug in. I mean, who's getting plugged in now? Trey Amburgy?
Maybe it'd be
a great story, and Trey Amburgy's going to be great. But they're not plugging in established players.
No, I know. But they weren't plugging in established players with all their injuries the last 3 years. Who knew about Ford? Who knew about Urshela?
Right.
Right? Who are some of the other guys?
Talkman.
Yeah, so we could just say the same things. Now, eventually, you can't always come up spades every time you dig down into the minor leagues, but at least this team has a recent history. Then when it's woe is me, look at all the injuries we have, they call up no names who all of a sudden become guys you love. Some of the guys that are established on this team now were guys that were given that opportunity because of the injuries. Right? If Andujar doesn't get hurt, we don't even know about Gio.
Yeah, people forget Gio wasn't even on the 40-man roster.
Right.
He was just languishing in Scranton.
No, it's not ideal, but yeah, this I understand what you're saying, that there were different players, but the players that became those guys were the guys we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. Who are these guys? How do you pronounce their name? Where are these guys from? Fast forward 10 games later, and all of a sudden they're getting big hits for you and you're winning games. So I'm not conceding anything this weekend, but it still puts them in a tough spot.
It does. It's a real bad situation. I mean, Aaron Judge is important. Gio Urshela is important. Loaisiga is vitally important. They are. And Nestor Cortes has made himself really important. I know how weird that sounds, but he has. Been really good. All right, so we want to talk to you about this. And again, we do want to dig into the Mets situation because I think it's fascinating. I almost think the Mets have to do something now. I mean, Chris Bryant seems like low-hanging fruit for them to go after. He's a guy that could play every position. They probably need corner outfielders. They need a third baseman. This is the first look we're going to get of the Mets tonight against the Pirates, Don, where this is the Met team. J.D. Davis is back. So This is the team that you planned on being your team. Let's see how they hit.
But why are they talking about getting a pitcher? Why is that the priority when their offense is still a struggle? I understand that they're finally healthy now. But still, they lost that game. Like it got obscured by the way the Yankees lost. But they lost that game on Sunday to the Pirates because they didn't hit. They got 5 runs in the first inning and nothing the rest of the game.
They're stretched pretty thin starting-wise, though, after the top three. I think that's just the way they're looking.
They
might get back Carrasco, but he's not going to be able to go because they're going to build him up in the majors. So
I'm not saying
he becomes a three-inning pitcher.
I'm not saying that they don't need a pitcher.
Maybe they need both.
Is it the priority over hitting? Like I said, Brantley's there.
Oh, okay.
The Cubs are out of it. Make the move.
Bryant, you mean?
Bryant, what did I say? Well, yeah, Bryant. Right, make the move.
That's the one move you can make. He's going to cost some money, and they're not going to give him away. There are a lot of teams that are going to want Chris Bryant. And the Cubs are in business now. The Jock Peterson move is just the first. They're going to trade Kimbrel. They're going to trade Bryant. I don't know if they'll move Rizzo, but there's a possibility there. They're going to move people. I mean, they pretty much played themselves out of the playoffs.
Well, that's blowing it up.
Yep. No, they'll blow it up.
You want to see what blowing it up looks like. It's going to be Chicago.
And you know why it's blow-upable? Because they got so many guys on the last year of contracts, and they're not going to re-sign them. So they are going to blow it up. Those are Diamond Notes. Brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. People were so nice yesterday on social media because I had mentioned during the show how, you know, Jody and Callie coughing and they had a temperature. I had it, you know, toward the middle of my vacation time. And what we did was, you know, we have a friend of ours that's a doctor. And he sent over a tech to the house last night after the show, and 4 of us did COVID tests, and thank goodness we tested negative. And, you know, what we all have is a cold. You know, we tested positive for rhinovirus, which is a cold. And Don's been talking about it, you know, his next-door neighbor. You know, a lot of it's going around right now. You know, people didn't get sick over the last 14 months because they were masked and they stayed inside. So all of a sudden, those masks are off and people aren't inside, so they are going to start getting colds again, and that's what Jody and Callie had. So thank you for everybody for asking, but that's the situation health-wise in the K-House.
Yeah, because we just want to see everybody be okay, right?
That's it.
All these players, everything, we just want everybody to be all right.
That's the way to root. Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, we're going to take a brief timeout, and then we want to talk to you. So we have a lot out there. The buffet is full.
Yeah, top 5 as well.
Oh, I wasn't even told that during the meeting. You want to give a clue of what it's about or spring it on us?
Well, spring.
All right, spring, Springs Eternal. 1-800-919-3776. Kay and LaGreca, just like the old days, right here on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
So, Michael, what happened on this date, July 16th, 1967?
The moon landing. Or they took off. Oh, 1967, no.
No.
The Mets moved into first place?
No. That wouldn't happen for a couple of years.
So why am I thinking 69 all the
time? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you do. I don't know. What happened?
Will Ferrell was born.
Oh, wow.
One of the great comedic actors of all time, in my opinion. So, why not have a top five Will Ferrell movies?
Why not? Old school.
That's a great poll, Michael. That's a great poll. I have it at number two. Released 2003, of course, the iconic character Frank the Tank.
Wonderful
IMDb
man.
Has it as a 7.1, among the highest rated movies of all time for Will Ferrell. Many people would have it number one. I have it at number two.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you, but you're crazy. I feel tired.
What a great scene. Now, I wonder if you're going to go with this, Don.
Yes.
Because it was a very limited role, but I think a role for the ages in Wedding Crashers.
Now, I discussed it with Andrew. It is an iconic, hey, Ma, meatloaf line.
What an idiot.
But it wasn't his movie at all. It was a cameo. Now, we could do top five cameos. We could do top five skits on Saturday Night Live and all that. But it wasn't a traditional Will Ferrell movie. But I agree, he was great. But I do not have that in the top five because it wasn't a Will Ferrell vehicle.
I mean, it turned into Funeral Crashing. He's a genius. The guy's a genius. Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. Great poll, Michael. I have that at number four.
Okay.
Ricky Bobby, 2006. IMDb has it as a 6.6. Even if you're not a NASCAR fan, I think you'd love that movie. I have it at four.
How about Step Brothers?
Step Brothers, I think, is exceptionally underrated. I love it. I've got it at three. He's Brennan. It goes from 2008. IMDb has it as a 6.9. So many great lines. I just love that movie. But it's not. I don't think it's given the credit that it's due.
Why do you think?
I don't know. But I think it's in the same breath as all of his great movies. But it just doesn't seem to be, you know, listed. Andrew, you're a fan, right? Do you think this gets the respect that it deserves?
It didn't initially. When it was in theaters, it did not.
Right.
But I think its second life that it has on television, I think now it does.
I agree. I've got it at number three.
I've got your number one.
Okay.
Right here. Here's your number one. How about Anchorman?
You know what? I thought long and hard about it, Michael, and I made it number one.
Of course.
I'm kind of a big deal.
How about that? That squirrel can water ski. Ugh.
Now, that might aggravate a lot of people that would have old school one, but here's the face-off win for me for Anchorman. I think the character is more iconic. Ron Burgundy... Anchorman 2's not bad. I don't have it in the top five. Hint, nudge, nudge. But that's an iconic character. 2004, IMDb lists it at 7.2, the highest rated Will Ferrell movie on IMDb. Anchorman 1.
I forget the name of the movie, but the one where he's an ice skater.
Oh, Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory.
Not a bad movie. Do not have it in the top five. Who are you taking out?
So who do we, how many spots do we have open?
We have just five. I've got Talladega Nights 4, Step Brothers 3, Old School 2, Anchorman 1. We're just looking for five.
Well, I don't think you have this at five, but I want to say my piece for this movie, and it's probably very underappreciated. I don't think it's been seen a lot, but it's exceptional. It's Eurovision.
I'm not even familiar with it.
Oh, you got to watch it.
Are you, Andrew?
So I've never seen it. I am aware of it. But
it's
Michael,
so good.
I'm excited to hear you say this because I had never really heard much about it. Now I trust your opinion on these things, so now I kind of want to see it.
Okay. Yeah, it's really funky and weird, but it's good. All right, I've got your number five right here. I got your number five.
All right.
How about a little Elf?
You know what? I debated it long and hard because there's another movie that I had right there as well, but I think Elf is the better movie. 2003, IMDb rated 7. He's Buddy the Elf. James Caan's great in it as well. So I did put Elf in the top five.
So what's the one that you debated?
The Other Guys, which I really find that movie funny.
Okay.
It's up to you. Obviously, you can go Night at the Roxbury, which I didn't think was all that great. That was one that could have been.
Did you think the Mark Wahlberg vehicle, Daddy's Home? The Kevin Hart vehicle, Get Hard?
Yeah, I didn't care for that. I mean, when I say don't care for it, I mean, it's okay. But for him, you expect, at least he's been in a lot of, like, you know, not great movies. But I'm comfortable with this list. Elf 5, Talladega Nights 4, Step Brothers 3, Old School 2, Anchorman 1. Now, there's no bigger Will Ferrell fan on the show than Andrew Gunling. Can you accept that top five?
Your four, I think, are perfect. Those are the same four I would have gone with in that order. Five, I think the majority would agree with you that Elf is probably it. I don't know. I kind of weirdly enjoyed Semi-Pro, and so I think that might have been my fifth. But I understand
you
that
didn't enjoy Elf? It has 85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know. It's not what it would not be in my five, and I probably wouldn't have even really considered it.
How old are your children?
Five and about to be two.
All right. Their children's children will be watching Elf every Christmas.
They did make it into a Broadway play.
They
it's a better
watching
movie.
Elf forever. It will. It's this generation's It's a Wonderful Life. It's a legitimate Christmas
well,
movie.
Well, next generation's click is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's
and
a better
it has
movie.
And the lovely Zooey Deschanel. And Artie Lang as a drunk Santa.
Right, which was a stretch for him. Yeah, I think this is good. I mean, everybody's going to have their personal preferences, right? But
you know what's really frightening, though? Will Ferrell's 54.
I know.
It's slipping away. It really is.
Well, slipping away, that's...
macabre?
Well, here's the thing. When we talk, we had this conversation. We had a lot of conversations when you were off. But when you talk about, like, acting, where can he go? Like, as he starts to become an older gentleman, what roles could he play?
Start doing Bob Hope, Bing Crosby movies with somebody.
Because like he's basically, I don't want to say the same character, but it's all kind of like that same age. I don't know if he can stretch into...
But you know what? Adam Sandler stretched it.
Well, Adam Sandler, but he put himself into some serious movies. And obviously Jim Carrey put himself in very serious movies. Can Will Ferrell play?
Yes, I think he can.
Well, we need to see it. We haven't seen that, Andrew, right? Have we seen him in a serious role? No.
Not like some of the Adam Sandler ones that you're talking about, no.
So I look at Will Ferrell now. I saw him at a game the other day. He was at a Yankee game. I forget. It wasn't at Yankee Stadium. It was somewhere else. He's starting to look like George Bush, the guy he used to parody on SNL. I mean, as he ages, he's starting to look like President George Bush. Do you see that, or is it just me?
No, I see it.
It's so weird. And he's also going with the Andy Rooney eyebrows, which I don't get. I've told my barber, Junior, I said, if you ever see me like letting my eyebrows just hang, just put the scissor right through my skull. I don't understand why older people think it's okay to let their eyebrows grow over their eyes.
I don't think they think it's okay. I don't think they care anymore.
Well, you can't give up. Never give up.
Some people do.
Thick, out of control thatches of eyebrow, it's unseemly. It can't be done. It shouldn't be done. And as a society, we should step in and stop it. CBS should not have let the late Andy Rooney on the air with those eyebrows. It's disconcerting.
Well, people need to redefine or at least look up the definition of friend. If you have friends, somebody's got to take you aside and say, this is not working. Do something about it. We all think we're doing them a favor by not saying anything. No, we're doing a disservice.
Now, Don and Andrew, Brian Hoke, the great Brian Hoke, who covers the Yankees for MLB.com, said Will Ferrell was very good in Stranger Than Fiction, which was a serious role. Do you guys agree?
I only saw it once. It was serious, but I'm trying to remember, was it that serious?
If Hoke said it was serious. Now, Ryan Hurley said that maybe Ferrell is prepping for a role as Andy Rooney.
Well, then you know what? Then you go and get
prosthetic eyebrows.
Yeah, you do. You know, listen, I understand. It's not admirable like gaining 50 pounds like De Niro did for Raging Bull. Sometimes just take the easy way out.
Yeah,
so, no, I don't think that's the case.
All right, so we're going to take a brief time out because we have to really examine the New York Mets situation because I think it got very, very, very interesting when the Braves got Jock Peterson.
Yes.
We'll break it down for the people. Don't worry. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Kay, LaGreca, and you. No Rosenberg. He's off right here on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
I think the only decision the Yankees have to make, Don, are they in buy mode? And I've told you this over and over again. I don't believe they're going over the threshold. If you're Hal Steinbrenner, why would you go over the threshold now? What has this team shown you to make you believe that, well, you know what? If I spend another $20 million, we'll be fine. Really? Okay, let's go through this, everybody. What do they have to add to be fine? Can you really put your finger on one thing?
Come on.
I think their offense has improved, but it's still problematic. The starting pitching is a little bit of an issue of late, and they're hoping to get back Kluber and to get back Severino. I think they pretty much stand pat. Could they add a player or two? I could say they could add somebody bigger than Tim LaCastro, but I don't think they're going to add somebody like Mike Trout because they haven't proven that they're worthy of it.
The Michael K. Show.
Why am I thinking 69 all the time?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you do.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, the reason I brought up the moon landing, I read this today. I guess, you know, we're so in the mode of immediacy. We think that everything that's happening now is the first time it's happened and that people are more doubting now than ever before. I read this today, Don, and it's fascinating to me. I think it was Darren Revelle who tweeted out, today's a day that Neil Armstrong and the crew took off to go to the moon in 1969.
Right.
Each of the astronauts that went on to the ship, they were given torn in half dollar bills. Did you know this?
No.
And you know where they were?
Why?
Because they wanted to prove to people that when they came back to Earth, that they would have these torn dollar bills that only these three people would match up with the dollar bills that were left in Houston. To prove that these were the same people that actually went up in liftoff. Is that amazing?
What did they think would come back?
Well, because there are still people that think that it was a soundstage, that people didn't land on the moon. So I guess you can't convince those people, those conspiracists. But there are people out there that would have thought, yeah, they sent those three guys up. There are another three guys that came back.
Well, we've always been doubting. You know,
to a very unnerving point. But here's what I was also thinking when I read it. Okay, that's all cute. Let's rip the dollar bills and that. David Blaine could do that. It could be. He does that all the time. You know, some sleight of hand like that. So, I mean, why would that prove to people that are so deranged as to think that we'd send three people up and bring three Martians back? How would you convince these type of people anyway?
Well, we say these types of people. I mean, I can at least understand you doubting sending somebody into space because it just seems so out there to do it, literally.
Right.
So that I kind of would understand that there would be people, and then, you know, conspiracy, Michael, there's been truthers forever that don't let things go. But I can understand in 1969, the whole idea of a man walking on the moon might be a little much for people.
I get it. I understand. But I just thought the dollar bill thing was so simplistic. Another thing that I read, so Jeff Bezos is going into space. Mm-hmm. He got beaten into space by Richard Branson. It's kind of funny. They're not really going into space. They're going about as far as an airplane could go, where there's weightlessness, but they're not really piercing space. But that's another story for another day. So he had people bidding to get on the flight. And there was a guy that bid $28 million and got one of the seats.
Right.
Don, he just canceled because of a scheduling conflict. What scheduling conflict could actually be big enough that, you know what, I'm going to give up the $28 million seat.
So we know he's giving it up?
Yeah. They gave it to the next bidder.
Oh, right, but he got his $28 million back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but okay. But I'm just saying, it was so important for you that you actually bid $28 million, but then something came up. Because this is not like, you're not going to space for 3 years working at the space station. You're going up and coming back. Yeah. I think it might all be the same day. You mean you can't rearrange getting your hair done?
Well, because the $28 million he bid was, right, I guess, similar to, you know, me making a $10 purchase and deciding to cancel it. Like, so, that might be the same as deciding not to go to a movie.
But it was still important for him to bid. What could be so important that it was a scheduling conflict? That's the way it's put out. What could be in conflict of you going into space?
I don't know. That also could be made up.
True.
Right.
People, I mean, you essentially don't believe, are liars.
I told you I was reading the Moonlighting book.
I didn't know this. No, this is new.
The biggest, the about the TV show.
Yeah.
Great book.
I didn't think about other jobs.
And
yeah,
it's
I
oral history, so it's got Sybil Shepherd, the writer, everybody. No Bruce Willis. So I'm like, I guess Bruce didn't cooperate. But you got to move on. I guess you do it anyway, right? At the end of the book, the author, and I would give his name if I knew it off the top of my head, says that that Bruce Willis agreed to do the book, but there was a scheduling conflict. You're writing a book about moonlighting, and you move forward without Bruce Willis because of a scheduling conflict? You know, then you rework the schedule. You release the book later. I mean, come on. Does that make any sense? So I just said, the only way I'm able to wrap my mind around it is, no, that's made up. Bruce didn't want to do it, didn't want to embarrass him or whatever. How do you write a book about that and not have it because of a scheduling conflict?
Right. Did you have to get the book together in like 3 hours? I would think that you could wait for Bruce Willis's interview.
Yeah, that's the one to wait for.
Well, like I'm doing a book on Cheers,
right,
but I'm not going to talk to Ted Danson because he's, you know, he's got to get his hair done.
Scheduling conflict.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, the book was, I enjoyed it, but it's not like some 500-page, million-dollar front book where we have to have it at a certain date. Guy could have delayed it 6 months just to be able to get at least a couple of quotes from Bruce.
Yeah, something smells fishy to me. All right, so the Mets. Let's do this, shall we? The Mets are in first place. They've been in first place for 69 days. That number keeps popping up.
Right.
And today they'll get back J.D. Davis to start the series against Pittsburgh. So this is essentially the team that was built.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no excuses anymore for their lack of offense. And since they've been in first place for 69 days, you would think that the other teams think, well, the Mets are going to get better and we might not be able to catch them. Every team other than the Marlins is in aggressive buy mode, starting with the Atlanta Braves. So the Atlanta Braves, if they had rolled over and said, you know what, we're out, after they lost Acuna, you could understand. They've won the NL East 4 years in a row. They came within one game of going to the World Series last year. And, you know, we're good. I don't think their fans would understand. We're good. But they traded a really highly touted first base prospect to get Jock Peterson from the Cubs. The Nationals are in on people. The Phillies are in on people. Don, that tells me one thing. All of them think the Mets aren't for real.
See, that's how I took it, and that was the report, right? Was they're buyers because the Mets blew their opportunity to run away with the division.
Yep.
Because none of these teams, I think the Phillies are at 500, everybody else is below. So the Mets could be up 10 games, and they're all sellers. The Braves just lost Acuna. You know, Scherzer's a free agent for the Nationals. They'd be selling. But why would you sell when you're only a handful of games back? Now, I still think the Mets are okay because these teams still aren't very good. The Phillies have an awful bullpen. You know, the Nationals, completely fell apart on the West Coast going into the All-Star break. And Acuna's a big loss. You know, Jock Peterson is a good player. He's not what he was with the Dodgers, and he's also not Acuna. So I still think the Mets are okay, but they're still also a team that's just 7 games above .500. We could talk about the injuries with the offense, Michael, but a lot of these guys have been back for a while.
Yep.
McNeil's been back a while. Alonso's been back for a while. Lindor is, you know, probably better now than he was at the beginning of the season. And also, surprisingly, he's got a high WAR for as awful as his stats have been this year. Now, and Dow Davis is going to be back, and that's certainly going to help. But, Michael, it doesn't look like, based on the sample size, they're going to be a great offensive team. But I still think they're okay, but I need to see what the Phillies, Braves, and the Nationals do. Part of my assessment was those teams are terrible and they're going to be sellers. If they're buyers, there's some players that they can get that they can improve themselves.
And also think about this, Don. Every single one of those teams that we're talking about think they're going to win the National League East because they're not getting a wild card. They're not. The wild card's coming out of the West, both of them. They just are. Any combination of the Dodgers, the Giants, or the Padres, those are your wild cards. There's going to be one winner of the division, and the other two are going to be wild cards. So those teams think they're catching the Mets. They're not trying to get that wild card spot because they're not going to win enough games. Now, I also look at it as this, too, Don. This is going to be a referendum, our first big referendum, second one. First one was Lindor on Steve Cohen. He said that if he felt that it was something that could really make the team better, he'd blow past the threshold. He's not going to go past the threshold by 1 million because it doesn't make sense, and I agree with him.
Right.
Is he going to go make a trade for Chris Bryant? Is he going to go make a trade for a big-time starting pitcher? Is he going to flash his financial wherewithal? It's going to be very interesting to see what he does. This is his first trade deadline. Obviously, he wants to win. Obviously, he wants to make the playoffs. The Mets have certainly given him a taste, and boom, now's your opportunity. The other teams are loading up. They think that the way your team is constructed now, it's not good enough to survive. Do you believe that getting back Carrasco and then eventually Syndergaard is going to be enough to hold them off? I think there's going to be a referendum on Alderson and on Cohen.
Well, listen, if you tell me those guys come back and pitch to the back of their baseball card, that's more than enough. But I don't know, especially Syndergaard. I mean, Carrasco could be back this week, I guess. So there's enough time for him to get right for the postseason. But Syndergaard, when's he coming back?
I don't know.
And listen, you can look at the glass half full and say, great, look, the top three pitchers are all great, right? DeGrom's amazing. Stroman's been great. Walker was an all-star. But you can also look at it and say, well, you know, Stroman's been okay lately, not great. And is Walker going to be able to duplicate this first half? Because they're going to have to. And this is also a topic of conversation, too. We had Buster on when you were away, Michael. I'm sure you heard this. That Rizzo in Washington right now wants to be a buyer, but if he sells, he will have no problem selling within his division. And Buster told us that maybe the Mets can get Scherzer from him. Well,
boy, that would be interesting.
But that means the Phillies and the Braves can get him too.
Yep.
So if he's got no problem, so you've got three teams that are all buyers. We'll see what happens. If Nationals continue to lose, eventually they'll fall out of that. But they've got some talent they'll trade, and Rizzo's got no problem trading within the division. So the Mets are going to have some competition for players, and they're going to have those teams possibly get better. But they've got the lead. They're 7 games over. They're healthier in the second half than they were in the first half, or at least should be. I want to be positive about this, but I was surprised by that report.
Especially
after Acuna got hurt, I thought, all right, the Braves are going to wrap it up. But no, they're going for it.
I wonder if you feel like I feel, though. I feel more bullish on the Mets than it seems like the three teams chasing them do. I think the Mets are really good.
But
I don't think they're going to be caught. I don't. And I don't think they played to the best of their ability yet. I don't think so either.
But that 4-game set against Pittsburgh was frustrating. Now, one of them was a doubleheader loss. And that's going to happen. It's tough to sweep doubleheaders. But that's a bad Pirate team. And that was a chance, sweep the 4-game series, go in with a head of steam, build your lead. And, you know, they went 2-2 and won every other day and blew a 5-run lead on Sunday. And that's a team that was 20 games under .500. So they do frustrate you at times, but I agree. I think they're better right now than those teams. I think they'll be better in the second half. And I think Cohen will put his money where his mouth is.
So do I.
And I think he will make a deal, and they will add, and they'll add payroll and do the things necessary. He may not just be doing it right now, because right now they seem to be okay. But, you know, let's see and react, because the players that they want are also players that other teams in their own division are going to want too. So,
if you just joined us, Yankees-Red Sox is going to be played, according to Major League Baseball, tonight. I look out on the field. The Red Sox are warming up in the outfield. Yankees are in right field. Red Sox are in left. Also, the Yankees announced Jordan Montgomery will start tonight, so they will skip over Domingo Germán, who was scheduled to start yesterday's game. So it looks like Germán might work out of the bullpen, where he didn't do that well in the third inning of work on the Sunday against the Astros. So Montgomery was scheduled to pitch tonight. Gerrit Cole is scheduled to pitch tomorrow. So I don't think they're going to have Domingo Germán pitch tomorrow. So, again, I believe they'll probably use him out of the bullpen. So it's Jordan Montgomery on the mound against the Red Sox. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I hope whoever canceled that $28 million trip to space didn't do it to orbit, because can you imagine what the fee would be on that, right?
yeah. And that's a perfect word, orbits.
I also wanted to show Will Ferrell some love for the movie Casa de mi Padre, which he did in Spanish. You guys don't even know about it. 2012,
no.
Look it up. He did a Spanish-speaking comic, dramedy, I guess you want to call it.
Was he good?
So, you know, top that, Adam Sandler.
Was he good?
The movie was awful.
Okay.
No, it was awful. But I mean, give him effort. I mean, he did a movie in Spanish. So anyway, my point, the Mets. Here's why I think they should go for a pitcher over – I think they should go for both, a hitter and a pitcher. But if they were going to choose one, I would go with a top-flight pitcher, because look what they're doing with an offense that has not been really good. They've gotten players – so many injuries, and they're still in first place with the guys that they plugged in. Not as easy to plug in a pitcher if one of those guys goes down. I mean, if Stroman, Walker, or DeGrom, and we've seen DeGrom already, you know, come out twice or three times so far this season, you get another top-flight pitcher, you know, four out of five games, you've got a good chance of winning. So I would go with the pitcher over a hitter if you had to choose one.
If you had to choose one, but I would think, Sam, that with, you know, with the wherewithal of Cohen, why do you have to choose one?
Right.
Although it's interesting, let's say they emptied their farm system and they got a guy like Scherzer, which I don't think you'd have to empty because he's going to be a free agent. By the way, Ian Anderson, the Braves, placed on the 10-day IL with a shoulder issue. And they don't have Soroka for the year because he injured his Achilles again. So I don't exactly know why they're loading up. But they also could turn around and end up selling Jock Peterson, too. You know, that's somebody that somebody's going to want. It's just... If you get a big time pitcher and Syndergaard and Carrasco do come back, well, okay, then what do?
Yeah, I was just going to make that point.
It's a good problem, as they say, and I hate that.
Yeah, but you're not going to have. All right, let's say, just for sake of argument, they get Scherzer. But then Syndergaard and Carrasco come back and they're great. Who are you taking out of the rotation? And Stroman and Walker are continuing to pitch well.
So you're asking who you're taking out?
Yeah, who are you taking out? Again, you said it's a nice problem to have, but are you moving one of these guys to the bullpen? Remember, you're just trying to get through the regular season, because how many of these pitchers are you using in the postseason? They probably have enough for a series in the postseason anyway.
Right.
So now you're just trying to – so are you going to make that kind of a deal? That's why you got to really use these days leading into the 30th, right? You got 2 weeks before the deadline to see where you are. Is that – do you want to give up a bunch to bring in a guy that's going to help you in the regular season when you may have enough for the postseason? Because you don't need four or five starters in the postseason.
No, you don't. You need three, maybe four. Mike in Yonkers. Michael.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. You?
Hello.
What's hey.
Up? Hey, guys. I think nobody has mentioned this, but I have absolutely no faith in Diaz. He has never saved a big game for the Mets. And the next big game he saves will be the first one he does. I think the Mets got to strengthen up their bullpen, because they roughly got to play 75 games in 75 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not with makeup games, games that get rained out if there's COVID games.
Yeah.
They need one more starting pitcher at least, and they need backup in the bullpen because their bullpen has done admirably. You can't knock their bullpen, really. But now, you know, you're getting to the dog days of August. They're getting worked, overworked. I feel the Mets need more pitching than hitting.
Well, Mike, one thing I would say, though, you're not going out and getting a closer. Edwin Diaz is your closer. And although, you know, the first half of the season ended on a bad note with him imploding in the second inning, I think he's pitched very well, Don. And I know what Mike is saying, you know, what's the big game? Well, the Mets haven't had big games.
Well,
but, I mean, he's your closer. It's not like they're going to go get Craig Kimbrell. They're not going to do it.
He was
They could get another arm, but I don't think they're getting a closer.
He was right. The bullpen's going to need some arms. May scares me sometimes when he comes in. They're going to need a few
Loop
more
has
arms
been
there
good.
In the bullpen. But Diaz has been fine. He was great last year, great this year. That was a five-out save he was asked to get after having pitched the night before. They wanted to get to Diaz on Sunday, but they didn't want to get him to have to get out of a first and third one-out jam in the eighth and then pitch a clean ninth. He didn't do it. But come on. That's unfair. You know, don't say he's never saved a big game like he's Trevor Hoffman and has blown a bunch. He just hasn't had to be in that situation.
Yeah.
But he's been good. But I do agree they're going to need some bullpen help, but you're not replacing Diaz.
All right, you guys have got to stay tuned. I mean, you should never turn away anyway because there's nothing better on the radio than us anyway. But you got to stay tuned because we're going to have the former Yankee catcher Eric Kratz on. He's funny. He's informative. He has been on a social media tour for the Yankees to call up Trey Amburge, who he played with down in AAA with the Yankees. Eric's retired now. He did have a stay with the Yankees as well. Very well-liked teammate. I think he's going to be a broadcaster one day as well. Or maybe even a manager. He's that smart. So we're going to have Eric on in just a moment. So stay tuned for that. And we'll ask about why the love for Trey Amburge. We'll see. We'll see what he says. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. No, 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 no. It's the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 25 years. All right, so it's Eduardo Rodriguez for the Red Sox, Jordan Montgomery for the Yankees. We're waiting on lineups for those for the Yankees-Red Sox game and the Mets-Pirates game as well. Kay LaGreca and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, everybody. Big 5 o'clock hour. Strange night at the stadium. So many Yankees are simply not available. We're talking about the ones on the COVID list. So we'll start with that. No Judge. No Higashioka, no Urshela, no Loaiza, no Cortez, no Peralta. All right, that's six. Now, Luke Voit goes on the IL with a bone bruise in his left knee. That's seven. No Andujar, injured, wrist, eight. No Frazier, dizziness, nine. No Aaron Hicks, out for the season, 10. 10. There's a lot of people that are not available that need to be available. So I'm going to play this in a positive way, which I kind of mentioned in the rejoin. All pressure has been removed from the Yankees. Every single bit of it. And the Yankees would be hard-pressed to argue this with me. No one in their right mind should expect them to do any damage over the next 2 weeks with the amount of people that are out. No one. And that's where you've just released all the pressure by turning the valve. Who knows how Trey Amburge is going to perform? Who knows how Chris Gittens going to perform? We don't know. But the guys that are still there, the Gardners, the Torres, the LeMayu, the Stanton, the Sanchez, even Odor, there's no pressure anymore. There's no pressure. Before all the COVID stuff happened yesterday, there was pressure for the Yankees to win 6 out of 8 against the Red Sox over the next week and a half. You can't rightfully, in any kind of rational thought process, think that that's going to happen. Do you want me to give you the lineup again today? LeMayu, Stanton, Odor batting third, Sanchez, Torres, Gardner batting sixth, Chris Gittens, Trey Amburgi, and Tim LeCastro.
I want Odor batting third.
And a bench of Rob Brantley, the backup catcher, Tyler Wade, Greg Allen, Hoi-Jun Park.
He's a nice man.
Every bit of pressure that was on this team for their underachieving during the first half is gone, Don. It's gone. They could take a deep breath and actually just go out and have fun. Nothing, I mean nothing, is expected of them, and nor should it be. And I believe that that played a role when they won 103 games with all those injuries in Boone's first year. I believe they just sat back and they felt like they were playing with house's money. Nobody could truly expect them to win games without all the big players that they lost. I think they're in the same situation now. Now, do I think they'll thrive? Not with this lineup, but any pressure that might have caused them not to perform, it's gone, Don. Well, it's done. There's no way that any of these guys take the field today feeling that they have to win. I think they take the field today saying, if we win, what a bonus.
I 100% agree. And I think that's one of the reasons why they did so well with all the injuries over the last couple of years, as you said. But two things. Number one, all right, you lose games, Michael, but I don't want to see 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts from Stanton. Or LeMayhew going 0 for 4 and leaving 3-4 runners in scoring position tonight. So the guys that are healthy, the guys that have been stars on this team, they don't have any excuse, because part of the reason that you survive injuries is because the guys that are in your lineup that are healthy have to step up. So the Torreses and the Sanchezes and the Stantons and the LeMayhews, those are four guys that would be in the lineup that are healthy. You could lose, Michael, but those guys can't be a collective like 0 for 14 and leaving 12 guys on base. So that still has to be accounted for, because those guys are healthy and those guys can play at an elite level. And also, Michael, if it does kind of fall apart and this ends up being a really bad 10 days for the Yankees and they fall out of this, don't fast forward to October and go, well, the reason the Yankees didn't make the playoffs is because of COVID. Let's not forget about the first 89 games you played before COVID hit this team. So it might be an excuse for why you didn't take advantage of these 10 games, but this should not be the narrative for why this team underachieved this season.
I agree. Because they were underachieving when they were healthy.
Right.
But I do believe it takes all the heat off of them. There is absolutely no expectation now over the next 2 weeks. And everybody's saying, before yesterday happened, these next 2 weeks would define the season. It doesn't. It doesn't define anything. It's 2 weeks in the middle of nowhere. It's 2 weeks with an undermanned team.
Well, you tweak the expectations, where I don't think you could be really satisfied going 5-5 and being running in place, but I think you take 5-5 now over the next 10.
Yeah, it just stay within wild card distance.
But like
hopefully
I said,
you get your players back.
Right, but like I said, don't lose a game because your stars didn't hit. Don't lose a game because Cole can't make it out of the first inning either. I mean, I got to see it happen. Like, we'll reconvene. You're off Monday, right? But
I'll be back Tuesday.
You'll be back Tuesday, all right? Because the Monday's the off day, so we'll start previewing the 2-game set against Philly. And we'll see how the weekend goes, because Michael, you could lose all 4 games and all the kids that got called up did well. So I agree that you have to kind of skew your expectations, but that doesn't mean we don't analyze it, and it doesn't mean that you're automatically exempt from criticism if you lose. You could still lose and it be a problem.
Now, one thing that we've seen in the first half It almost, I don't know if you agree, Don, you watch a lot of the games. I watch all of them. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a slog. There was no joy. It was joyless the way they played baseball. It just was. I'm sorry. Now, can you imagine the joy that Trey Amburgie's going to have tonight after being in the minors for, what, 8 years, and he's finally getting his chance? And Hoi-Jun Park, how he's going to feel? I mean, Chris Gittens, his second chance now, he's going to have a little bit of a run. These guys are going to be playing with such a joie de vivre, and they are going to hustle, and they're going to bust it because this is their opportunity, and maybe that infuses them with something as well. We saw that in the 103-win season, where guys that weren't supposed to be here were here, and they took advantage of it. That's how it can impact the team in a positive way. Because, again, the first 90-some-odd games seemed like a slog to me. It just seemed it was slow. It was plodding. It was joyless. There's a lot of pressure on this team all the time to win. And when they don't perform, the heat comes down on them.
Well,
now it doesn't come down from where it used to, from the owner. Although Hal Steinbrenner did put some heat on them by saying it's the players. But even before that, it's just the fans' expectations. Now fans can't rightfully have any expectations with this lineup.
Well, it's every walk of life. If I go to a movie, and I'm told that this is an Academy Award winning, this is going to be the movie of the year, and it's okay, you're going to walk out of there disgusted. And if I tell you, listen, don't go see that movie, it is awful. I don't know what they were thinking making it. And it's exactly the same, you'll walk out of going, hey, that was a lot of fun. That's what the Yankee game. You go to Yankee games expecting this team to win because you've got a bunch of all-stars on the team, and the expectations are win a championship or bust. Well, now you walk into the game tonight with all these minor leaguers in the lineup and the expectations are low. I'd like to see the fans maybe have some fun. And if you win the game, instead of picking it apart, just be happy you won. And if you lose, maybe you're not as disappointed because your expectations were low.
You know, speaking of movie reviews, did you see the review in the Post for Space Jam 2? I mean, savaged.
Yeah.
I mean, also to review like LeBron James as if he's Laurence Olivier. I guess, you know, if you take the chance and you put yourself out there, I guess you're going to be reviewed. But boy, it was savaged.
Well, I haven't seen it and I will not. But it shouldn't be compared to, Laurence Olivier. It should be compared to Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and it said it was terrible compared to that.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I think you have to compare it to what it's supposed to be compared to, and that is the original Space Jam, which was a classic. Jordan was no more an actor than LeBron James. I would say LeBron James is a better actor than Michael Jordan.
A strong take.
Oh.
Justin Shackle works here at the stadium, tweeted out that Aaron Boone said Aroldis Chapman could find himself in the closer's role tonight. He said that based on what the team's current position is, he wouldn't hesitate placing him in a high-leverage situation. What's their current position?
But is Britton just not up for closing?
And what about Chad Green? Also, another thing you should know, Rougned Odor changed his number to 12.
What's up there?
I don't know. I guess he was a big Ron Bloomberg fan.
Yeah, I need to know more about that because What circumstances changed? Now, if you were to tell me I believe in Chapman and I think the best thing to do is to put him out there in a big leverage situation to get his mojo back, I might disagree with it, but that's a reason. Their current situation, what's their current situation? You've got two guys that right now I think you'd rather have close the game tonight than him.
If you take a lead to the ninth inning, like a one-run, two-run lead to the ninth inning with this lineup, and you're willing to give it away by taking a shot that Chapman is straightening himself out, that's pretty oniony. Other news I know you'll like, Hoi Park, right, is going to wear number 98. First Yankee to ever wear number 98. Trey Amburgie is going to wear 95. First Yankee ever wear number 95.
This is going to look like a spring training game.
Yeah. And it's about as hot as it would be in Tampa, too.
There's going to be guys, jogging on the warning track during the game.
Oh, I don't know. That's strong.
Aaron Boone's going to be on a folding chair, like right on by the on deck circle. Like, just
with
make it a spring training game.
Yeah, with a screen in front of him. Wow. All right, so let's take some phone calls from people because this is, to me, this is fascinating. Not fascinating in a great way, but fascinating. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go to Brian in Hamilton. Bri.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Love the show.
Thanks. Welcome aboard.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I got to tell you, you are 100% correct. The pressure is indeed off on the Yankees, and I think this is going to be a Cinderella second half. Everything with COVID, the first half struggles, this team, I have a feeling, is going to finish second place as a first wild card, just 5 games behind Boston. Hopefully, well, I'm right. I'll bet anybody on that, though.
I mean, it's a long shot. It could happen, but it's a long shot. I mean, I've always been a firm believer you win games with talent, and you've taken a great amount of talent out of the equation.
No.
Now, does the enthusiasm of the youngsters and the lack of expectations now energize them? We'll see. I'm betting that it will for a while, but talent wins, Don. Talent wins.
And also, none of the guys that are out for the year.
Except for Hicks.
Right. But we knew that, you know, for a while now. But, you know, Judge is going to be back, and Higashioka is going to be back. So, yeah, it's a nice little pressures off story here over the next 10 games, especially who they're playing. But eventually, Michael, if they do survive this and then Judge comes back and Voit comes back and they become whole again, then everything goes back to the way it was before.
Let's go to Javier in the Bronx. Javier.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Don. I'm sorry. How you guys doing? Right.
Good. What's up?
So I called the other day, actually, and I was the guy that told Don that the Yankees need to win 6 out of 8. But with everything that's happened in the last 24 hours, I do agree. Yankees are definitely playing on house money, or with house money. And definitely, I also think that that's what Vegas is also thinking. That's why they're favored to win the series. And I kind of agree with the last caller. I think this could wake the Yankees up. This could get them hot. You know, I want to be optimistic, but I think this can work. I think something could happen at this series. Cole, I'm going to the game tomorrow, so I'm hoping Cole can lock it down. And let's see. You know, I'm not completely down on this.
No, that's the way you have to root, because, you know, even the full-bodied Yankee team didn't play well. I'm sorry, they didn't. They're 3 games over .500 at the 89-game mark. So that's average. That's the very definition of average. So what do they do? We'll see. Yeah, the if you're a Yankee fan, the way to bet, or the way to, you know, to root, is that the infusion of youngsters, the lack of pressure now, takes a lot of the heat off of them, and they just go on that fun.
But it's interesting. You say that now, but tonight, Yankees up 3-2 ninth inning. And Chapman comes in to close and coughs it up, and they lose the game. Is anybody going to walk out of that building or call shows the next day saying, "Hey, listen, no, they're going to destroy the team and destroy Boone and destroy," you know? So it all depends on how it looks. I don't know if they're going to exactly if this team, Michael, over the next 10 goes 2-8. I'm not really sure the fans are going to completely let them off the hook.
No, they might not, but, I mean, the rational expectations have to be lessened considerably.
Right, but you got to see how it looks. Like I said, if Stanton doesn't get a hit and Gerrit Cole goes 2 2/3 innings, giving up 6 runs, you know, not all losses are going to be blamed on the injuries. If they're losses because of the injuries, then that's a different story.
Yeah, but if they end up losing because, you know, the bullpen gives up, the bullpen is – really challenged now. Loaisiga was one of their most important pitchers.
No, but that's why I gave the scenario. Right. Yeah. If they give the ball to Chapman, would be a Boone decision. If Britton and Green are sitting there and Chapman comes in and gives it up, that's going to be a Boone problem, no?
No, I would say that he probably would get second guess, but, you know, I'm sure they've been working with him, and if they feel that he straightened himself out, then they put him in. But, you know, the fans are going to want wins no matter what. Even if you have a bad team, they want their team to win.
Sure.
But from up high, I mean, how does Yankee management get upset if they lose games? Now, you can. I mean, it would be impossible to. I mean, you could not be happy, but I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I think it'd be a difficult take. All right, it is time for the 98.7 ESPN leaderboard update. It's brought to you by PGA Tour superstores. And, you know, they're playing the Open Championship, Don, at Royal St. George's Golf Club in Kent. A purse of $11 million. $11,500,000.
Mm.
And not much has changed since the last time we spoke. Although, there are now four Americans within the lead. So, Oosthuizen is 11 under.
Luis Oosterhuizen.
He leads. Then American Colin Morikawa, 9 under. He's second. Jordan Spieth, 8 under. Also an American, third. And then tied for fourth at 7 under, two Americans, Dustin Johnson and Scott Scheffler. There it is. That's the leaderboard update brought to you by PGA Tour Superstores. Shop with the pros at your New York or New Jersey area PGA Tour Superstore, the home for golf pros and beginners. Mets and the Pirates tonight as well, weather permitting. Yankees and the Red Sox, they will play the game. So we're ready to rock and roll as we bring you into another weekend. It's Kay LaGreca and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I'm excited, by the way. August 20th, we're going to have our big beach bash. Now, we're going to change the venue from what we usually are where we usually are, and it's going to be a Bar A. I've never been there, Don. Have you ever been there?
No. I've heard about it, though.
It's supposed to be a great venue, so we're turning it for that, you know, for that day into Bar K, and it's going to be rocking and rolling. It'll be great to press the flesh, as we like to say, with our great listening audience, our family, so to speak. So we look forward to that.
We have not been together since early March. Everybody else on the show, that we were together on March 12th of 2020, but you were in Tampa. So I probably haven't seen you since like the first week of March of 2020.
And Peter and I were together at that golf tournament.
Right.
So I've seen Peter in all his glory.
And I've seen Andrew and I've seen Anthony because I've done some shows from the new studios. But you and I have not had that opportunity yet until August 20th.
August 20th. It's going to be great. Now, Jets Nation, the annual green and white practice is back at MetLife Stadium. It's Saturday, August 7th. So join the team under the lights for a night full of football, family, and fun. Download your free mobile tickets today at nyjets.com/camp. Or be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll win four front-row tickets. Again, the number is 888-987-3776. The green and white scrimmage is supported by Atlantic Health System, Dell Technologies, JetBlue, MetLife, and SAP. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment. I didn't get a chance to ask Don this. So the All-Star game is played in Colorado, Denver, and throwing out the first pitch is Peyton Manning. It kind of left me empty. This is Major League Baseball, and you have one of the greatest football players of all time throw out the first pitch. Now, you could say, well, you know, because of the town there. Well, Peyton Manning is not an icon in Denver. He's an icon in Indy. He had a stopover in Denver.
Well, pretty good stopover.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. I get it.
And also had an MVP season.
But would you, I mean, the Denver quarterback is John Elway. Why wouldn't John Elway throw out the first pitch? He was actually a baseball player.
I don't know what his availability was.
It's like the guy who spent $28 million to go to space. And,
all right, so who would?
I don't know. I just think it's a bad look for baseball. Of all the great baseball players out there, you have to have Peyton Manning throw out the first pitch of your All-Star game. Now, I know Peyton Manning is you know, bigger than big. But if I'm baseball, I don't want to be piggybacking on the laurels of the NFL.
Well, especially since Larry Walker was just inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That would have been a nice one.
And I think that Peyton threw to Todd Helton, who was, you know, his teammate at Tennessee. But Todd Helton should have been throwing to Peyton. If you wanted to involve Peyton, have Peyton be the catcher and have Todd Helton, who actually is a Rocky icon, throw out the first pitch. But you're right. Why isn't Larry Walker throwing out the first pitch?
Just again, odd. It's tough to beat him up if you don't know the availability. I mean, Peyton's no slouch.
He bounced the ball.
No, but well, he made the mistake of thinking he was in the windup. Like he made the mistake of thinking that he could do it.
He bounced it.
He wouldn't have bounced it if he didn't go through all the histrionics of like he was an actual pitcher. Yeah. I don't think he deserves to be beat up. I don't think the Rockies deserve to be beat up.
No, it's not the Rockies. It's MLB.
Well, then
I'm not beating anybody up. I just wanted to see if you had a problem with that. Obviously, you don't.
I'm sure they've had baseball 25 years.
Right.
But are you surprised that Fox is going to lean more towards football than baseball?
I don't think Fox has the right to dictate who's going to throw out the first pitch. Now, he does live there year-round. He's made Colorado his home, his permanent home. Hmm. But there's a lot of people that live in Colorado year-round. You don't have them throw out the first
pitch. I'm sure Elway does, since he works for the Broncos.
Right. Elway was a play. He actually played professional baseball.
Well, it's still Peyton Manning.
Now, somebody on Twitter asked me, I guess Barre has a shot wheel. Will I spin the shot wheel? And my answer is a resounding yes, and I will throw down shots too.
Summer of K.
That's right.
That means that.
Thank you, Doctor.
Our radio station is going to have to invest in a very, very long car service because I will not be drinking and driving.
Hoo-hoo-wee!
What is your shot of choice?
My shot of choice?
Yeah.
Well, I'll throw anything down. I don't like tequila that much.
You'll throw anything down?
Yeah.
You don't have a shot? You don't have, like, one thing over the other? I know tequila, but anything else?
Jägermeister is, I guess it's a fun shot to do.
I love Jägermeister. Jägermeister's Al Gattulo. You can take him or leave him. I take him.
You have always taken Al.
Yes.
Wow. That's a strong comparison.
Yeah, that's always my thing. Because there are a lot of people that you love, but you understand why people hate it.
I don't have those people. You have a lot of
those
people.
I have a lot of those people.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we all used to get together and once a month and eat steaks and have cigars.
Yeah, I went there once and it was one
right,
too many.
Because you just can't stomach people. But I for some reason, those are the people that I gravitate to. And I call them Jägermeister people because nobody is iffy on Jägermeister. You either love it or hate it. And I get why people hate it because
it's melted licorice.
It does taste sometimes like Robitussin.
Yeah, which I like.
But I really enjoy it. And I haven't had it in a while. So I will spin the wheel as well, and I will have Jägermeister. But if
but
it falls
no, no, you
on
have
something
to, you,
else.
You have to then drink that whatever it falls on.
Jello shots are no, that's nothing. A Zambuca shot would be good, too.
I would do a Jello shot off your stomach.
No, but you wouldn't have that chance.
Why?
Wouldn't, because I wouldn't want you to do it.
Why? Why? Are you shy? Right out of your belly button.
But,
hair and all.
What do I get out of that?
The thrill of me doing a Jello shot off your body.
I don't see the thrill.
You will.
No, you will. No.
If you're still hocking up a lung, I'm not doing anything off your
body.
Well,
listen, I don't see how this is ever going to end. It's been 2 weeks.
I don't see light
at the end of the tunnel.
So you think you're going to cough for the rest of your life?
Yes. I feel like I'm going to.
And you're accepting of that.
I don't know what else to do. So it's getting better. It's just very slow.
Do you have a doctor maybe that you can go to and say, why am I coughing like this?
I don't think it's enough. I don't have any other symptom.
So
they're
going to
tell
gonna
you
go
you probably have that same rhinovirus. It's the kids. Their noses are running and everything, too.
Wow. Well, our PD, Ryan Hurley, said that we'll all do Jaeger bombs.
Our PD needs to be careful because he may not have the same tolerance for alcohol because he's losing weight tremendously.
He's a shell of himself.
Looks fantastic.
By the way, I've never seen bluer eyes than what he exhibited today. I think he put in fake contacts. I really do. I think he's having a midlife crisis.
He might be, but he looks good doing it.
So Kevin Cash of the Rays said, with the negative rapid test today for All-Star contingent, they shouldn't have to do further testing unless MLB requests. Really? So you shouldn't have to do further testing. So the players go out into the world every single day. You shouldn't have to do further testing. I don't get it. Now, you said that you would do Sambuca, right?
Yeah, because that's a licorice type.
And do you know what Ryan tweeted? He said, what are you, my grandma?
Why? Is that something his grandmother drank?
Big drinker. Always has.
So that's an older person's drink?
These are the things you learn as you cough your way through life.
I've been old, stupid man. Get lost. You know, back in the day when I used to go clubbing, that was an option. Is it that crazy? I don't know. It's not a cream de menthe. It's not a pink lady.
I'll do a pink lady at Bar A. Whatever. I'll be slurring words by the end of the show. Because you know why? It's the summer of K.
I don't think there's anything FCC. I think you'd be on the air drunk as long as you're drinking whatever the sponsor is.
I am not an animal.
Do you realize how many times that Peter's been impaired on the air? Nobody's done a thing.
Excuse me?
Why would you throw that? Not once.
Really?
He might have been high, not drunk.
Well, I said impaired. I didn't say drunk.
It was
I chose the word
pot.
Carefully. Impaired. Let's go to Angel or Angel in Warwick. Angel.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good. You?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for taking the call. So, quick point. The Yankees, as constructed before this whole outbreak madness, they scored 17 runs in 6 games against Boston, right?
Yep.
If I'm correct. 5 runs came in 1 game, and we didn't beat them at all. So, I think that our expectations as Yankee fans, we were expecting the worst and hoping for the best with the original lineup. And now I think I'm excited, for one. I think I'd like to see what these kids can do, because I'm tired of these guys not performing to the back of the baseball cards, like you say. So,
Angel, is, I mean, Trey Amburgi's a nice story. Park is a nice story. They're not considered Yankees top prospects. So it's not like they called up Jason Dominguez. Rob Brantley is a veteran catcher. They didn't call up Jason Dominguez. I mean, these are not top prospects. They weren't even on the 40-man roster. Yankees had a maneuver to get them on. So please, everybody, temper your expectations just a little bit. And just because the Yankees were terrible in the 6 games against the Red Sox, that means nothing. It means nothing. I got some grief on Twitter earlier, Don. I said the Yankees, I don't think the Red Sox are better than the Yankees. And then, you know, people start spouting stats. Well, they're 0-6 against them, and they've been outscored. I didn't say. The record, obviously, is the Red Sox have been better. But when I look at their rosters, I just don't think there's that much of a difference in the teams. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't see that big of a disparity between these two teams. That the Red Sox should be 7 games ahead. The Yankees have clearly underachieved all year.
And the Red Sox have overachieved. I don't think anybody had the Red Sox winning the division this year. So they've overachieved. The Yankees have underachieved. I think that's the gap. Now, that's part of it. You got to go out there and play to the best of your ability, and they have not. But I don't think it was that outlandish from a roster standpoint. But you got to go out there and win the games.
If I donate a lot of money to the charity of your choice, can I do a Jell-O shot off your body?
No.
Why?
Because I don't know how I win in this. I don't
Andrew,
want their
tell pick- him how he wins.
Well, Don, I think the embarrassment of this is more on Michael than you.
That's how you win. You make me look like a complete lunatic.
Yeah, but at least you get to own being a lunatic. Like, look how crazy Michael is. He's drinking a Jell-O shot off the, you know, the in the navel.
Slurping it.
Slurping, whatever it is. Oh, yeah. All right, so then, but you at least get to be like, wow, he's a wild, crazy guy.
He gets to be Frank the Tank.
That he's just nuts. It's the summer of K. Look at that. All I am is the guy laying flat on my back on a bar with my shirt off. What do I get? Nobody's going to be like, look at that, Don. He's crazy. Like, what is Don doing? And I don't even get to taste the shot. There's nothing in it for me. I would donate to the charity of my choice just not to have to do it. Andrew, how do I win?
I mean, no one's stopping you from taking a shot along with him.
Well, you think I'm gonna return the favor? No, I'm good. Nobody wants to see this. This is not helping the show.
That is not. I think everybody would like to see this.
Well, I think there's people at the other station that like to see us be embarrassed like that.
What?
None of our listeners want that.
They'd love it.
Smoke show.
Fun, you animal. What's wrong with you?
I'd like to run this up the poll.
There's a lot of people that would want to see Michael in a compromising position. That's all I need is GIFs throughout the rest of the summer.
Or GIFs. Of that. This is how it would sound, Don. Just like
you dig. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not happening. No.
What's wrong with you? What? You're just not securing your masculinity.
No,
I'm
very secure.
I don't think you are.
It's kind of steak, was it? You seem like a bone-in guy.
It's not about that. I don't care what people think about my sexual preference. Think what you want. I don't care. But I don't need to see it. I don't need to feel it.
Close your eyes.
I don't need to be reminded of it.
Getting peed on is not the worst thing in the world.
I don't know.
If I gave you
so many other great things to get attention, we don't need that.
$1,000, would you floss with Peter's arm hair?
For how much?
$1,000.
No. No.
And remember, you have to have the Eagles garb on the
because I lost the bet.
Yeah.
But floss would be, and then I'm sure there's nothing wrong with Peter's arm hair. But
except
why am I doing
there.
That for $1,000? I don't get it. Why are you lowballing me?
Why are you worried about my arm hair, you weirdo?
$1,000 to do something that takes a second is lowballing you? Wow, you'd really be, you'd be very expensive in the escort business, wouldn't you?
But, Andrew, you know what I'm talking about.
No,
like, what is
nobody
that?
Does.
Was doing porn.
Andrew, he's wrong here.
What, about flossing with arm hair?
Not anything.
But $1,000 to do? I don't want to do that. And $1,000 isn't going to make me want to do that.
All right, fine. You know, no fun.
But can we come up with, you are loose and ready to go. You've let your hair down. It's the summer of K. Can we do some interesting things? Some fun things, some things that can actually gain some traction.
Like what?
This is what you want to do. Me floss with arm hair for $1,000, and you.
I don't think. Andrew, mark it down. He's not making it August 20th. You know how hard it is to transport an iron lung to the bar A? It's not easy. One more time, Don. Here's the sound. Right out of the belly button.
Oh, my God.
It's
gross.
No, it's not. I think that's the opposite from gross.
Isn't that 3 seconds from making out with each other?
And 3 feet.
Because if it's back in the day, right? Andrew, back me up here. I know we're against the clock. Who cares? If you're out in a club somewhere and you do that to a woman.
Right.
You're hoping to make out with that woman based on that she let you do that. Right. So you're 3 seconds from making out with me.
But good. That's not my hope with you. Under any stress.
I don't know.
To entertain.
I don't. This came into your mind as something that you desperately want to do. I'm not sure.
You're
it's definitely
very
on the table.
The things that you'll do, and then the things you won't do. The people you hang out with. That's okay. But me going with a Jello shot.
Oh my God! It's.
Yeah. All right, let's right towel off, which is what you'd need after that. We'll take some phone calls. We have ENN coming up as well. Kay LaGreca, no Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Don, are you okay? Because you sound like death.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.